Welcome to Defining Tanya. We are in Oys Eyin. We're getting to the end. We have to start thinking about a new project. As well, it's been a long project. It's been a good project, and I plan on turning this into a little booklet that will be helpful for all of us. Bezrat Hashem. So the last thing we learned was Ilav Alul, which is a very kind of mystical concept. So just let me put my phone aside. It's a very it, when I say mystical concept, it's not really mystical. It's a bit technical, and it's the idea of like
Good
we
afternoon.
it's the idea of what we call it cause and effect. But if you remember, we explained that it's actually not cause and effect at all. It's the idea of a klal, something that is not comprehensive. A klal, how would you say that?
General principle.
Yeah, let's say like that. It's a general principle, a general concept. That's the ilah. That's what contains everything. The olal is now details that come from it. So we could say that the chicken is the ilah, and the eggs are the olal, are the cause and the effect. But again, it's that you've got the general, like you've got endless eggs that could come from the chicken. Yeah. Now, that also isn't perfect. The best way that I've understood it, like we said last week, is you've got a general concept like the concept of animal. Yeah. Well, then we've got the concept of an animal. Well, then what animal are you talking about? We're just talking about the concept of animal. Now, animals break down into mammals and reptiles, or into carnivores, omnivores, and herbivores. Well, now that then we if we go with carnivores, then we end up with feline, with cats. Yeah, but cats again isn't details. It's just a broad concept. You've got big cats and small cats. Within big cats, you've got tigers, leopards, and lions. Yeah, within tigers, you've got Sumatran tigers, you've got Bengali tigers, Siberian tigers, and then it goes down again to individual actual tigers. So that's the concept of Ilva Olul, and it's a very, I mean, that is how understanding Ilva Olul properly is understanding Hishtalshus HaOlamus, understanding how Hashem created from nothingness. Well, actually, that's incorrect. It's not understanding how Hashem created from nothingness. That isn't Ilva Olam. It's understanding from how, after Hashem created something, there ended up what we have right now. And if you look at the Ramban HaKadosh on Parshas Bereishis at the beginning, you'll see that he believes in the concept of evolution, maybe not the way that we got taught it at school. But he believes that there was two primary creations, one barley corn of Ruchnius and one barley corn of Gashmius. And from both of those barley corns, so to speak, all of creation, you could say evolved or devolved, whatever you want to say that. But so that's the concept of Ilva, although it really demands, I mean, I think we said it, but it still demands quite a lot of we need to deal with that quite a lot. Okay. So now we're to Atzvus. Atzvus, we've already discussed when we spoke about lave. And in lave, I don't remember. We remember the five levels of lave. We've got Timtum lave, then we've got Shvirus lave, Merirus lave, Psichus lave, and then finally Tuv lavav. Okay. So Timtum lave, which we actually were just learning in the last time, in the last chapter of Tanya that we're learning, chapter 29, Timtum Alev is when the heart is blocked up, and the Rebbe describes it as ke'even. It's like a rock, which is when we get so identified with the things of this world that we just become unavailable. We become cooked. We're finished. We're done. There's nowhere to grow. There's nowhere to learn. There's no, I'm finished. I'm done. What are you going to teach me? That's the feeling of Tim to Malave. It's like, I'm good. Thank you very much. Oh, you have a nice idea for me? It fits in with what I already know, because how could you add to what I know? How could there be something that I don't know? Psh. So Tim to Malave. So now that sounds like, okay, that just sounds like an arrogant person. Yeah. Why would that person, just close that, why would that person be called in a state of utsvus? What's the kesha between sadness or depression and that kind of inability to entertain something new? What's the connection there? So if you meet someone who's in utsvus, I'm not really talking about when people have chemical imbalances and there's a release of, like, I don't remember the name of the chemical, but there's a certain chemical that makes you depressed. I forgot what it's called. But there's certain times when the brain, so to speak, is malfunctioning or broken, and it releases this chemical. But we create the when we feel that way, because certain thought processes create that chemical anyway. It's the same. It's just whether you create it yourself through thinking, or there's some kind of like little valve that's broken in the brain, and that chemical is leaking out. Yeah. So we're talking about when we're consciously or subconsciously creating that chemical through our own thinking processes, which is a lot of the time, which is probably most of the time. So the kesha between depression, sadness, redepression, and this inability to change is, you'll see that when people are in a depression, it's like, it's not that they don't want to get out of it, but they don't want to get out of it. Do you understand what I mean by that? Like,
Because they've identified with it too much.
yeah, but it's like you would assume, you might even think that if you presented them with the button, th this
A
if you
what?
press this button, you will stop being depressed. Yeah, they probably wouldn't want to choose it. They would say something like, well, how do I know that's going to work? Or, well, I don't, maybe it will get me even more depressed. Or it's like Rev Noach Weinberg spoke about, he gave this idea, if you go to a beach with your friends, yeah, and you're having a wonderful time and everyone's having great fun, someone comes along and says, come on, let's go up another, walk another kilometer this way, and there's an even better beach. And everyone's like, yeah, let's go. Yeah. Or if, he said, contrast that to a time when you went on an outing and it was much rubbish, and you're sitting there depressed, and someone says, I found a place a kilometer up, let's go. Everyone's like, nah, let's just go home. I can't be bothered. It's like it brings on that contraction. It's called katnas hamochin, where you don't feel that there's anything else, there's anywhere else to go. You with me? So the actual experiences of utsvus is an experience of Tim to Malave. It's an experience of katnas amoichin, of hagbola, which means limitation and delineation, and it's like, done. This is it. It's finished. That's the feeling. Whereas when you're besimcha, that's called psichas alev, and you're now available. And so that's really what utsvus is. In Tanya, utsvus is not a emotion. Utsvus, sadness, is a lack of availability to emotion. There's only two emotions in Tanya, okay? Shalom Chanan. You jumped in for an important idea just now. In Tanya, there's really only two emotions. Yeah, Av and Yira. Exactly. Yitzi, what you're doing is either going towards or coming away. That's what emotion is. Emotion is an attraction toward or a repulsion away. Again, repulsion. It's called Ahava in Yira. Yeah, Ahava is usually translated in Hebrew to love, translated into English as love. Yira could be translated into many things, including hate. Okay, respect or fear, even hate. But that's what emotion is in Tanya, the way I've understood it. Is emotion in Tanya is either a movement towards or a repulsion away. So anger is not a an emotion in Tanya. So what is it? If anger is not an emotion, what would you call it? This is,
A behavior?
I mean, it's, it is a behavior. Well, it depends. You might not be behaving. No, not behavior. It could be a fit. What is anger if it's not an emotion?
Is it
What else could you call it?
Ruxon?
Reflex?
Reflex. Good. It's a pleasure.
Again,
It's a pleasure.
another
Own egg.
Oneg, yeah, it's a pleasure.
but everything you can say that for everything.
Not for love or for fear. Love is not a pleasure. I'll prove it to you very easily. Why is love not a pleasure? Somebody loves their child deeply. Yeah? You think that's a pleasure? The pleasure of love is the expression of that love. When you're with your child, playing with your child, yeah, that's pleasure. The actual love is not pleasure. For example, if that child gets taken away from the father, that love turns into pain, deep pain. So love is not a pleasure. Love expressed is a pleasure. Love suppressed is a pain. You with me? And that goes the same with fear as well, or the other emotion. Again, fear is not the right word. It's not, doesn't help you so much there. But anger's considered a pleasure in Tanya, in this understanding of Tanya. Atzvus and Atzlus, or Atzvus is a lack of emotion or an unavailability, if that's a word, being unavailable to emotion. Simcha is not an emotion. Simcha is an availability to emotion. Simcha is a free flowing alignment with an emotion. So, for example, somebody who's very besimcha will mourn. Will be in a will have a will mourn with a U much more deeply than somebody who is in Atzvus. A depressed person will not be able to mourn, whereas a person who is in joy will a person who's besimcha will be able to mourn properly. Meaning again, mourn. Well, it gets complicated. Mourning, like avelis and simcha, are both availability to emotion, but simcha's on the right side and avelis is from the left side. But they both are conduits for emotion. Yeah, and that's why if you look in where all the where, who knows all the halachas of which masechta are all the halachas of Yom Tovim. Not all, but a lot of them, the halachas of Yom Tovim are in Masechta's Moed Katan. And also, all of the laws of Avelis are also in Moed Katan as well. Yeah. You've got the 7 days of Shiva, you've got the 7 days of Sheva Brochas, you've got they're amazingly linked together. Avelis and Simcha are literally the same idea, just two different sides. Anyway, but mourning is not Atzvus Bichlal. In fact, Atzvus has got the opposite of Atzvus is Simcha, but also the opposite of Atzvus is Avelis. They're both opposites of Atzvus because they're both the heart is alive, whereas by Atzvus the heart is dead. Okay, and that leads to laziness. Okay, let's move on. Next one. This is a quick one. Yeah, the Esospheres. Wow. Oh. The Esospheres. Yeah, that was a joke. It's not a quick one. The Esospheres are. Depends if you count them the way Chabad count them or if you count them the way the Arizal counts them. It's either Kachab or Chabad. Yeah, Kachab is Kesa Chochma Bina, Chabad is Chochma Bina Das. Okay, but Das and Kesa are really manifestations of the same thing at different higher or lower levels. So forgive me if I flip between them. I don't know how to get into the difference there would be take too long. I don't think I understand it properly anyway. Then you have, so let's just say you have Kachab, yeah, Kesa Chochma Bina. Then you have Chagas, which is Chesed Gevurah Tiferes. Then you have Nahi or Nahim, which is Netzach Hoid Yesoid, and then Malchus. Okay, Malchus is different in kind to all the other spheres. Okay, so let's try and say it quickly. We'll include Das in the picture as well. So we'll include Kesa and Das. Okay, so we're going to talk about 11 spheres, but they are not 11 spheres. Chas v'shalom. It's very clear that there are not 11 spheres. There are 10 spheres. Hashem is not a sphera. The spheres bichlal are the method by which Hashem creates, and in the word is Chayv Kayom. It's the method by which he gives existence and life to creation. Existence means it comes into being, and life means it comes into being like this, and that includes an onward relationship. So Kesa, for all intents and purposes, is the one we're talking about. In this case, Hashem. It isn't though, but on the level that we're going to be learning it, we'll say that it is. Kesu is him himself. Again, it isn't. It's Ratzon. Let's call it Ratzon.
How is it?
You can't make a distinction between Hashem and his Ratzon. And just like you can't make a distinction between you and your Ratzon, it's exactly the same in a microcosm and a macrocosm. Okay, so Kesa, let's say Kesa is Ratzon, okay, which is the mensch himself, as Rashi says and as everyone says. But you have to know that it goes even deeper. It's just on the level we're discussing here. Yeah, Hanan.
Yeah. I don't know if we're supposed to jump in with questions, but could we maybe take a step back? Because I think, at least for me, I've been through the Esospheres and know a basic definition of each of them. And Afolpikein, it's they still I still don't think I understand. I mean, I definitely don't understand, I should say, like what they are. You know, they exist on every olam. They're the way Hashem creates the world. They're different channels. They're either a line or they're a circle. There's all these different things that they are. But how would you, Mikvodcha, sort of just characterize what they actually are?
So I said.
And when we say he creates the world through them, or he's managing the world through them, what does that exactly mean?
So, like, yeah, thank you. Okay, you made me be more precise. The Esospheres, and just as you said this, it just came to me to say it like this. The Esospheres describe the relationship between Mashpia and Mekabel. So now, with that said, yeah, let's unpack it, because that's I was just going to explain this, but I think that's a very good way of saying it. The Esospheres describe the relationship between the Mashpia and Mekabel, with the Mashpia being Keser, which again I said, take that with a grain of salt, yeah, with the Mashpia being Keser, and the Mekabel being Malchus, okay. So let's go through quickly. It should be quite straightforward to understand, but okay, because it's really very, Hashem's he makes a lot of sense. It's a very sensible. He's the macaw of sense. When things don't make sense, it's usually because we don't understand them properly. Either something can't be understood, or it can't just be, either it cannot be understood because there's no logic, it's not there to be understood, or it can be. It's not that it's too clever for us. If it can be understood through logic, then the human mind can understand it. But there's things that aren't, that are beyond the realm of logic, then it can't be understood. So you've got, let's say Kesser is the Mensch himself. Okay. Now, Chochmah is an opening through which that unified chaotic energy, and that's important to remember, by the way, that chaos is, in a sense, a oneness. It's only Tikkun that is now without, with which is not a oneness, it's an ordered unity. So that's a big thing to say. Let's go, that'll take us too far away. So Kesser is, sorry, so Chochmah, which is the first sphere after Kesser, is, so to speak, a opening which allows the energy of Kesser, the undifferentiated energy of Kesser, to pour into the system. Without Chochmah opening, Kesser doesn't, there's no energy in the system. It doesn't begin. Nothing gets off the ground. There's no Chashmal. So it's like turning on the Chashmal. That's Kesser. That's Chochmah. Chochmah is the opening through which the chaotic energy of Kesser comes in. Bina is now the method by which that energy is ordered. Das is where that ordered energy becomes personal to the Mashpia. Meaning, let me ask you a question, yeah? Do you want to live?
Yes.
That's not really correct to say. Like, I hope it's true, yeah. But it's not really correct, because me saying I want to live kind of puts me in the driver's seat. You are not. It's the will to live that has you. Do you understand what I said by that? You do
Yes.
not have the ability to turn off your will to live. So when you say I want to live, the want to live is going through me. I'm buttle to the want to live. It's not my choice that I want to live. I can't let go of that. That's bigger than me. That's not personal. When you're saying I want to live, that's already at the level of Das, because now that's about me wanting to live. But in truth, there's life that wants to continue. And then it gets expressed by me saying I want to live, but that it's bigger than me. It's that when you say I want to live, it's not the same as I want pizza. Those two statements, that I want, are two different uses of the word, yeah? You don't want to live, you have to live. You don't have an option there. I want pizza means I could tomorrow want chips, I could want fries, or I could want a hamburger. That's you. So Das is when that chaotic energy becomes personal. So Kesser is the chaotic energy of the person himself. Chochmah is the channel, the opening through which that chaotic energy flows in. Bina is the process of ordering that energy. And if the relationship between Chochmah and Bina is profound enough, that will give birth to Das, which is now a personal connection to that energy, that idea now. That energy has become an idea at this point. And that's what a teacher needs to teach from a place of Das, because if a teacher hasn't personally identified with the information, they're going to be like my geography teacher when I was 15 years old, yeah? Nothing. If you're teaching something that you're not personally identified with, it's like It's like the lady in the Ben Gurion, information desk. It's nothing. Yeah, a teacher is somebody who's identified with the information. Yeah. So now at
Can
that,
I?
yeah,
Yeah,
go.
oh, yeah. Quite didn't see, were you gonna say something?
Yeah, you go first.
So, would it be fair? I like what you said about DOS. Would it be fair to also say that DOS is like the application of the energy that's coming into the recipient?
Not
So it's like,
application, not at all. It's where the ability for application begins. That's where emotion
right.
born. That's why there are four in the shin on the head of the tefillin. There's four. One of the reasons why there's four kavim of the shin. Why? Because dust breaks down into ava and yira. Within dust, dust is koilo ava and yira. So ava and yira is now the movement of that idea from me to the other. So to say it's the application, it's the beginning of application, but it isn't actually an application at all. Does that make sense?
A little bit.
Meaning that dust is still, it can't be application. Maybe you could say it's application in that it's
It's like the
the
nexus, yeah. It's like the
between
how.
the moichin and the midas. So like it's where that into intelligence, or where that muscle, that intelligence now goes through into midas, and it becomes born into actual emotions, which is now how's it going to go out? But to call it applications, it depends how you use the word. But I don't think that's the it's the beginning of application. But it's really where the idea gets mixed up with self, where that idea get becomes me. Okay,
Shmuel?
yeah.
Yeah, you said Chachma Bina Das. Thank you. Great explanations. And then you said it's not that I want to live, it's that the will to live that has you. Okay. How did that connect to Das? I just didn't.
Yeah, because I was saying that's a good question. Because it's like from a place of das where you say, I want to live. It becomes personal to you. There is a want to live. Life wants to live. Yeah, that could be called kesa maybe. But when you say, I want to live, that's when that desire for life has now become personal. So you would say, I want to live. That's why I mentioned it. That's why I said it like that. So das is really where the person becomes identified with that idea.
So when somebody says, I want to live, that's a das moment. If somebody says it's the will to live that has me, that's a keser.
If a person was in an ultimate state of moichin de gadlus and had ascended from any concept of self, I don't think he'd be able to say, I want to live. He would be able to say there is a will to live.
So
But from
if he's a mashpia, if that person is speaking and that person is a mashpia, they're speaking from like a keser perspective instead of a das perspective.
no, what do you mean? That example that I just gave just now?
Yeah.
No, let's not get involved in that. I don't know, but it's
Okay,
not.
fine.
Let's keep going, because I want to try and finish the thing, and I think we can. So Kesa is the chaotic energy which comes through Chochmah, that gets ordered by Bina, that kind of lands in the Das. Now Das gives birth to Ava and Yira, to Chesed and Gevurah. Chesed is going out, Gevurah is holding back. So now we're talking about how are we going to give over this idea? You with me? Do I have to hold back? Or do I have to give? Like when you're speaking, you can speak and not. Like if you notice just then, I paused, a long pause. That would be gvura. I can choose to speak, and then for effect, I will pause. Speaking is a process of giving and holding back. That's the break between each word as well. And then I just emphasized it by giving a very long pause so that the meaning becomes apparent. But it's always so that I can give. But it's the question of do I hold back or do I give? Yeah, that's chesed and gevurah. So now what we need to do is we need to create a not really a like a balance. It's the word is really a tsiruf. How do you say that? Not a combination. How is a tsiruf? It would be a certain combination. There's a better word for it than that. I can't think of it. But tiferes would be the amounts of chesed and gevurah that you've decided are necessary to impart this information. Okay? The idea. You with me? Now, we've spoken about this moshul before. Excuse this moshul, but it's the only moshul that I know of, and it's absolutely perfect. So, excuse me, but we're mature men, so we'll speak about it. Yeah, yesoid is the yesoid. Yeah, yesoid is the male aver. Yeah. Netzach and hoid are the motion of intimacy, the back forth motion of intimacy. That's what netzach and hoid are. So, okay, I don't need to explain that because the moshul gives everything. So yesoid is the tool of connection. It's the actual chomer of connection. And it's the movement of that chomer, of that physicality that we call netzach and hoid. As it moves in, that's called netzach. As it goes out, it's called hoid. So that is, so to speak, a manifestation of chesed and gevurah. But it's now not just an abstract. This is why it's called the six. It's called the six kitzvim or the six midas, whatever it is, yeah, that they go together because although they're not the same, they are a mirror, a lower down mirror. So chesed is giving, so to speak, and gevurah is holding back, and tiferes is the combination of them. Tiferes and yesoid are quite different in this bechina. But netzach and hoid are the actual application. They're not just they're the actual speaking. They're not just the giving and the holding back. They're the actual giving and holding back. And malchus is the other in which it is all received. So the malchus actually is the keser of the other. That's why it's called keser malchus. But in the Kisvari, he speaks of it more, and this and what we just said here now, when you're learning on a high resolution, is it's the Nahim that enters into the Keser of the other. The Netzach Hoid Yesoid Malchus that gets embedded into the other, not just the Yesoid. The Malchus is. See, to say the Malchus is of the other is like a bit inaccurate. It is, but it's really the Malchus, your Malchus and the Keser of the other are bound up with each other. So that the Malchus is really, it still belongs, so to speak, to the Mashpia, but it's the Keser of the Mashpia and the Malchus of the Mekabel are indistinguishable. Is that clear? So I'll say it again quickly, yeah? So you've got the chaotic energy of Kessa, which is the mensch himself, let's say, that enters into the system through Chochmah and gets ordered into, let's say, an idea through Bina. Now, the friction between Chochmah and Bina, so to speak, causes the idea to fall into the Das, where now it becomes personal. Because it's become personal, that means that there's now I that means that the Mashpia has emotions towards those ideas. Those emotions toward the ideas are giving over and holding back. The correct mizug or tsiruf combination of those two things is what we call teferes, yeah? That's like the recipe that we're going to use. Now, the way we actually implement the idea is through netzach and hoid, by way of yesoid, that causes the idea to actually enter into the malchus, which is already the other. And now it all starts again. Because when I turn around to my son, yeah, and the whole system lights up and it all goes through, and I give my son over the idea, yeah, in the way that I determine is best. And you see, when you give your kid an idea and it really hits, you'll see it goes something like that, yeah. It actually enters. Now he goes to school the next day and he tells his friend, and the whole thing brings all over again. That's the system. It
So
keeps going. So that the malchus of the mashpia becomes the kesser of the mekabel, and now the mekabel comes a mashpia. So that now goes through the whole process again. That becomes, like, so to speak, a chaotic energy that goes through the whole process again. That gets born again into the next malchus that becomes the kesser of the next level below that.
the place that I feel like I'm least clear is the Netzach, and despite your wonderful mushel,
Oh man,
the
that's
Netzach,
Aria. What's his
not
name?
yours.
No,
Okay,
from the book from the Inner Space. What's his name?
that's from Inner Space.
Oh,
Wow,
what's his name?
don't remember that graphics section, but thank you. No, but
R.G.
still,
Kaplan.
Netzach and Hod,
Yeah.
are still, I still, I mean, not saying like, I've got feast of everything, but they're the least, I'm least clear about them. And I want to admit my kid and just spend some time trying to understand that better. And that's a code use. So I understand how Malchus is the starting point for the next serious, Shtalshalus, the next process of Mashpia to Mekabel. I love the whole idea of Mashpia to Mekabel. Can we spend a minute on Netzach and Hod and just try to dial that in a little bit more? Like, what
Waiting
I
yourself.
know, I was learning Tanya today, so it talks about when we learn Torah. So we're both incorporating the Torah in us; it comes into us, and we clothe it. So it sort of reminds me of the idea of Hod being the clothing and Torah, like. And also, there's a concept that a Rebbe is like minatz, when, like Netzach is when a Rebbe, like, you finally just like get that this Rebbe is like the real deal, or this concept is the real deal. It's minatzeiachas. It's sort of we just like become a subject of that reality. It's necessity. It overtook me, and then Hod seems to be something about like us incorporating or clothing those ideas, they becoming that them becoming ours in a certain sense.
Look, there's many, there's a lot of ways of talking about this. I know people take the whole 10 spheres and use them in all different ways to explain different things and stuff. The way you explain that, I don't know if it fits into the path that we're trying to explain it in right now. We're just, when it comes to you understanding or you being dominated with it, maybe you could say that that would be a description of what's happening in the intimate act, as in the inward and outward. But the point I'm trying to the point I'm trying to give over with Netzach and Hoid is Netzach and Hoid are the implementation of the giving over the idea. Netzach and Hoid and Yesod are where the other really begins. By see, Chesed and Gevurah are still, they're about the Mashpia. Netzach and Hoid, it's now about the Makabel. That's so Netzach and Hoid are are so to speak, the movement of giving the idea, and that movement involves a giving and holding back. That's the Yesod is the actual the vessel that's used to give the idea, but that isn't the giving of the idea. I have to give you the cup or take it away from you. So there's the cup, and then there's now the movement of the cup, so to speak. And that is received by Malchus. So Netzach and Hoid in this Bechina, again, I know I've read, there's lots of different things that I've seen about this, but Netzach and Hoid, when we're learning it in this idea of an idea coming from a Mashpia to a Makabel, is the actual giving over of the idea. In fact, I think I said it wrong before. When I spoke about when I yeah I for sure said it wrong. When I spoke about Chesed and Gevurah being the pausing and the speaking, yeah, that's not what the Chesed and Gevurah is. Sorry, the Chesed and the pausing and the speaking would be the Netzach and the Hoid, yeah. The Chesed and the Gevurah is my feelings, the Mashpia's feelings towards the idea. The actual giving of the idea would be the speaking and the not speaking, or in the intimate act, like we understand, it's the same thing as the seed coming down. It would be the in-out movement, whatever, yeah. But that's the so it's the it would be the actual speaking, the holding back and the receiving. The actual speaking and the holding back and the pausing, the speaking and the pausing. That is the idea of me moving the idea into you. You with me? So Chesed and Gevurah is really my feelings towards that, which is what the das gives birth to. And then the actual implementation of the idea, where the idea is moving from me to you, that's Netzach Hoid Yesod. But Hagas is still, it's all about me. It's my feelings towards, and it's really, this is the point, it's really the energy. It's the energy that not motivates, the energy that energizes, what's a better word to say that? It's the energy that gives life to, that not motivates, mo mo that. The energy, let's say energized is a better word. It's the energy that energizes the Netzach and Hoid.
Shmuel,
Yeah.
does this, the mashal of the active intimacy that you started saying by Yesod, Hod, and Netzach and Hod, does that mashal only begin there, or is the whole mashal, does the mashal of intimacy start from Keser?
What do you mean, the intimacy part?
Yeah, because you mentioned you started saying, okay, now when I talk about Yesod, Hod, and Netzach, I'm going to talk about the mashal of, we're talking about intimacy, right? But why did you only say it there? Is it possible to say that all 10 spheres are sort of an act of intimacy?
There's in Kabbalah, there's what's called patisha. Yeah, patisha means like hakos, like banging, when or panimi bangs with or makif, yeah, whatever these terms mean, it creates kalim. So on every level of the spheres, the moshel of intimacy is taking place on every single interaction. The most obvious moshel, the most obvious one, is the relationship between Chochmah and Bina. I actually said it, where the friction between the Chochmah and Bina causes zera. Yeah, that's the inyan of Patisha again with the Or Makif and the Or Panimi. That when Or Makif and Or Panimi bang into each other, it causes sparks which create kalim. So what you just asked is very good. It's really the essence of everything is that every relationship, and don't forget by Chochmah there's esospheres, and by Bina there's esospheres. So the whole thing is happening on a microcosm. So for Chochmah to relate to Bina, it goes through the whole esosphere system. Whenever there's a downgrade, whenever there's a movement from higher to lower, it goes through this system that we've just spoken about. And within Chochmah, within the Keser, within the Netzach of Chochmah, is also the esospheres. And within the Netzach of Chochmah, there's also the esospheres. So the Moshalim go on and on and on and on. But it's always to do. It's just it's most profound and kind of easy. It's not. It's the one that allows most insight when you relate the intimate actor to Netzach and Hod. That gives deep, deep insight.
Look, can I ask one more question? Why is it important to know this?
Well, I can't think of a reason why it's not important to know this, meaning that this is how it works. This is the whole system. This is everything when it comes to, I mean, your life is a process of mashpia and makabel. That's what life is. Life is either mashpia or makabel. So isn't it nice to understand how it works? And then maybe if you understand how it works, you're in a bit more of a masterful position to do it better. I think it's extremely important. I mean, you know now, you know, I mean, on so many levels, I wouldn't be able to begin talking about it. Just to say something like, you know, if you realize that the relationship between Chochmah and Bina causes the idea to fall into your das and you to take it personally. Well, now I really want to know about this relationship with Chochmah and Bina. What am I meant to do now to get an idea to become really personal to me so that I've got energy in the idea to now give it over to another? Because until that idea has entered into my das, I don't have any energy to give it over. It doesn't, you know what I mean? I mean, on every level of the whole system, the more you think about it, the more you realize it's absolutely like, absolutely foundational, mamash. I have to go. We should be bench Bezrat Hashem, and
Amen.
next week we talk about Panemius of Utz and get to pay. Oh no, next week I've got a chasna. Next week I'm
Yes,
this day, Hanan. You know we have a chasna next week. We're making chasna, but Hashem.
Mazel tov, Mazel tov.